Welcome to City Church's podcast, and thanks for joining us. Open up a Bible and listen in. And now, here's today's message.
Good morning, City Church. How are you guys doing? Man, you know, I love that the kids are in the service because, you know what, I really believe that this message is for the kids as well. God is raising up a new generation of worshipers, a new generation of people that are sensitive to His Holy Spirit. And so this is a perfect message for you guys to be here. Actually, this is a great Sunday for y'all to be here because you guys are in for a treat. I was able to get my hands on a rare archaeological artifact to show you guys. I got a friend, and he's an archaeologist. He does digs all around the world, and I knew he had this artifact. And I called him up. I was like, hey, can I borrow this? This would be perfect for my message this Sunday. And he said, absolutely not. Do you know how rare these things are? And so I begged and I pleaded. I said, I promise I'm not going to let anybody touch it. They won't destroy this thing. Can I please use it? It'll really bless the church. And so I'm happy to have it here with me today to share with you guys. You see, this ancient civilization, this primitive civilization used to use this artifact to apparently listen to voices in the air. And so I have it here to show you guys. I'm so excited for this. Guys, this primitive civilization used to call this thing a boom box. Is from a land called Best in the region of Best Buy. And they would use it. They believe that there was voices in the air all around us. And they would use this to try to hear these voices. And so this is an antenna. And apparently it's supposed to recognize and receive the voices. And there's a feature on here called a radio. I think it was I don't know what it was. It was like a god that they were trying to hear or something. And so let's try this out. Let's give this a shot. Okay, let's see if it actually still works. And there's a knob here and you turn it so that you can get the right frequency. And I'm getting something. I'm getting some signal. And you try to find the right frequency, and is it there? Oh. It works! There are voices in the air, and they speak Spanish. It's awesome. Now, all kidding aside, everyone knows what a radio is, right? But what happens if I was to tell you that there is a voice that is speaking to you right now? If you are a believer, there's a voice that is speaking to you. And just like this radio, if you are not tuned to the right frequency, if you don't have the volume up, you're going to miss what this voice is saying to you. Now, there is a voice, and that is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And He is speaking to you. So today, my message is called Tune into the Frequency of the Holy Spirit. We're continuing in our Gospel of John series, and we are in a section of Scripture in John chapter 14. It's known as the Upper Room Discourse, and this is the final 24 hours of Jesus' ministry before He goes to the cross, and He is giving instructions to His disciples before He leaves, and what He says here is of utmost importance because He introduces the Holy Spirit. He's saying, I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit, and we need to understand what He's saying. Because it has implications to us today as believers. And so we're going to answer three questions in the message today. And the three questions are, well, what is the Holy Spirit? Number two, what does the Holy Spirit do? And three, how do we experience and hear the Holy Spirit and what He's doing in our lives? And so we're going to dive into the scriptures in John chapter 14, starting at verse 15, and we're going to read what Jesus is saying to His disciples, because He's also speaking to us as well. So before we dive into the scriptures, let's bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You. We come to You with hearts wide open. Holy Spirit, would You speak to us right now? Would You fall on this place? Holy Spirit, would You open up our ears? Would You open up our eyes? Would You just let us hear and see the things that You want us to see? Would You give us an encounter with You? We love You. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. So you guys can turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 14. We're going to start at verse 15. You can fire up the YouVersion app if you didn't bring a Bible. John chapter 14, verse 15. We're going to read the rest of the chapter 14 together. It's quite a bit, but then we're going to break it down afterwards. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love Me, you will keep My commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see Me no more, but you will see Me because I live. You also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my word, and the word that you hear is not mine, but my Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you, while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you love me, you will have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. So let's break this passage down. You see, Jesus is giving final instructions to his disciples, and he's telling them, I'm going to leave, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. So brings us to our first question. What is the Holy Spirit? Well, the right question to ask is, who is the Holy Spirit? So this is the first point in your note sheet. When you got in here, you received a note sheet to help you follow along with the message. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, co-equal in attributes of deity with God, the Father, and Son. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not the force. It's not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead known as the Trinity. Now, I'm not going to get into a complicated lecture of the Trinity. I'm just going to touch on it briefly. We can spend weeks on the doctrine of the Trinity and still not wrap our heads around it. But I want to give you a simple, brief description of what the Trinity is. Us as Christians, we believe in one God, a triune God. What that means is we believe in one God that exists in three persons, co-equal in attributes of deity, substance, power, and glory. Simply put, God is one essence in three persons. It's a beautiful mystery that, you know, we might not fully be able to wrap our finite minds around it on this side of heaven. But you know what? I'm okay with that, because I much rather worship a God that is beyond my comprehension than worship a God that I can simply explain away. You know, there's many analogies that try to explain what the Trinity is. You know, all throughout Scripture, in the Bible, it talks about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they're all co-equal. They're all God. You know, and so there's an analogy of an egg that has a shell, a yolk, and a white, but it's one egg, right? There's also an analogy of a man. A man can be a husband. He could also be a father. He can also be a son. All one man. Or there's even an analogy of space. Space consists of length, height, width. All those are co-equal attributes of space, but none of those analogies truly grasp the idea or the vastness of the Trinity. It's kind of like trying to explain the internet to a 2-year-old or Wi-Fi to my mother. I don't know why she just can't understand it. It's weird. But you know what? Just because they don't understand it fully does not mean it doesn't exist. And just because we don't understand the fullness of God in our finite minds this side of heaven doesn't mean that he is amazing and awesome, because the things that we do comprehend about him, it brings us to honor and reverence of who the Holy Spirit is and who God is in our life. And so the Holy Spirit is God. He is a third part of the Trinity. He is the same as Jesus. He is the same as God the Father. And the Holy Spirit is not new. The Holy Spirit isn't just something that Jesus just introduced right here. The Holy Spirit was part of this whole thing since day one, since chapter one, since page one. If you turn to Genesis, you don't have to turn there. Genesis chapter one, the page one, it talks about how the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters before anything was created. And that when God created man, he said, let us make man in our image, speaking in the plural. And when they breathed the breath of life into the dust to make Adam, that word breath of life, it means spirit. So the Spirit of God was giving life from the very beginning. And all throughout the Old Testament, The Holy Spirit was the one that was speaking through the prophets, through the judges. The Holy Spirit was the one who empowered Joseph to interpret dreams. The Holy Spirit inspired David to write the Psalms. The Holy Spirit was even in the New Testament, was the one who conceived the Messiah in Mary's womb when Jesus was baptized, which it's Baptism Sunday today. The Holy Spirit came and descended and remained over Jesus like a dove. And so the Holy Spirit has been with us since day one, but what is changing here in John chapter 14 is the way that the Holy Spirit relates to us. Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit will now dwell within you. You know, there was a moment when Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman, and the Samaritan woman was saying that, "I can't worship at the temple because I'm Samaritan." And Jesus said that a time and an hour is coming when people will worship in spirit and in truth. And this is what Jesus was talking about. You see, back then, they believed that the Spirit of God only dwelled within a physical brick-and-mortar building called a temple. But now Jesus is saying, no, the Spirit of God is now going to dwell within a flesh-and-blood temple, which is you and I. And that's incredible to think that God would make his home with us. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" That's incredible. That blows my mind. And so that's who the Holy Spirit is. He is the third part of the Trinity, and he's making his home with you and I. So that second question, what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, simply put, the Holy Spirit is what Jesus said he is. He's our helper. And the word helper in the Greek is this word called parakletos. And what that means is that it is someone that comes alongside you to help you. He is an advisor. He is a legal defender. He's a mediator, an intercessor, a comforter. There's so many things that the Holy Spirit does to help us in our lives that it would really take weeks to unpack. We can spend one sermon on just one way that he helps us, but I simplified it and I broke it down into three categories for you, and this is the next point in your note sheets. Three ways that the Holy Spirit helps you. Well, one, he counsels you. He counsels you, and there's a bunch of ways that he counsels you, and this isn't a complete list, but you can jot these down. One way that he counsels you is he teaches you. He teaches us and he gives us wisdom, knowledge. Chapter 14 of John, verse 26 says, the Father will send the Holy Spirit in my name and he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit also reminds us of things. The next part of that verse says, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Now, this is how a bunch of fishermen can remember all the things that Jesus said to them so that they can record it in what is now the New Testament so you and I can read it. You know, this happens to me today. This actually happened to me last week. I was speaking with someone, and God, the Holy Spirit, just brought this verse back to my mind. I completely forgot about it, and I had to share it with them, and it spoke directly into their lives. So the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance of things. The Holy Spirit also counsels us by guidance. He guides us. You see, in John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "The Spirit of truth will come, and he will guide you to all truth." Now, numerous times in my life, I have experienced the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Anybody have ever experienced God's guiding in your life? You know, every time I make a decision in my life, I always have to fast and pray. I want to seek God's guidance. And there's this one time I was making a decision. It was a big decision in my life. And I was fasting and I was praying. And someone from this church came up to me. They had no idea about this. They said, "Hey, God gave me a word for you. And you're supposed to do this and this." And it spoke directly to the decision that I was praying about. And I'm like, how did you know? See, God sends people to help guide you. He wants to direct you into his perfect path for your life. The other way that the Holy Spirit counsels us is he convicts us. He convicts us. John chapter 16, verse 8 says that he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. See, the Holy Spirit was the one who convicted you before you were a Jesus follower to know that, hey, there's something not right. I need to get right with God, or I need to come to faith. Now, I want to make a clear distinction between conviction and condemnation, right? Condemnation, it just makes you feel bad for what you did and worthless, and that's not from God. But conviction, it leads you to correction. It spurs someone on to righteousness, and that's from God. You see, us as believers, Romans 8, it says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And for us as believers, that's what the Holy Spirit does to us. He convicts us because he wants us to live worthy of the worth that he created you. You were created in the image of God. And now you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. So if you're living unrighteous and doing things that are wrong, the Holy Spirit's going to convict you so that it will spur you on to righteousness so that you can live rightly. You can live worthy of the calling that God created you for. The Holy Spirit also, this is the second part, this is the second way that he helps you. He comforts you. The Holy Spirit comforts you. He comforts you in two ways. First, he comforts you emotionally. It says in John 14, verse 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." We learned 2 weeks ago from Pastor Chris that we live in the most anxious, most worried, most depressed culture in all of human history. And so if we ever needed the peace of Jesus, it is now. We need this kind of peace. And there was a story in Mark chapter 8 when Jesus and his disciples, they were on a boat and they were in the middle of a storm, raging storm, and all his disciples were freaking out and they were thinking they were going to die because the boat was going to sink. And Jesus is in the boat sleeping peacefully like a baby. And so the disciples are like, "Wake Jesus up, we're going to die." And so they wake Jesus up, and what does he say to them? He wakes up and he says, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he miraculously calms the storm. The question is, why was Jesus not afraid? Why was he sleeping so peacefully like a baby? It's because he was secure in the Father. He knew that he who is for him was greater than anyone or anything that could come against him. So he has this peace that surpasses understanding, and this is the kind of peace that he wants to give to you if you dive deeper with him. Now, I love diving in the ocean. You know, there's a saying for divers that is the cushion of the sea. You see, it doesn't matter how violent the ocean is on the surface. It can be thrashing with waves and everything. If you go under the water, it is calm. And the deeper you go under the water, the calmer it gets. So remember, there was a horrible tsunami a few years ago in Sri Lanka. And destroyed much of the coastline, killed thousands and thousands of people. It was absolutely horrible. There was a group of divers that were out there, and when the tsunami came, that tsunami went right over them. They didn't even feel it until they got back to the shore and they saw the chaos and the destruction that tsunami brought. But they were shielded from it because they were in the cushion of the sea. They were deep underneath. You know, sometimes our lives feels like a tsunami is just thrashing in and causing chaos and destruction. But Jesus is saying, "I have this peace for you that will shield you from all that. And I want to give it to you the deeper you dive with me." So he has this peace that he wants to give you. He wants to comfort you emotionally. The other way that Jesus comforts us is he comforts us physically. He heals. God heals. Miracles still happen today. And 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the different gifts of the Spirit. One of them is the gift of healing. Jesus healed in his ministry. The disciples healed as well. And in the church of Acts, they went on with in the power of the Holy Spirit, healing people to spread the word. The Holy Spirit heals, and he still does today. And I love what James chapter 5, verse 14 says. And this is for us, the church. Is anyone among you sick? He should send for the church leaders, and they should pray for him. They should pour oil on him, and in the name of the Lord, the prayer given in faith will heal the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. You know, in this church, we have so many testimonies of miraculous healings in our church. It's so amazing. And I want to share one that happened with the Taylor family, actually. And if you have not seen Lincoln's journey on our YouTube page or on our Facebook page, Google it after service and watch it. It's amazing. Bill and Amanda Taylor, when Amanda was pregnant with their youngest child, Lincoln, they went to an ultrasound and the doctor found a tumor in Lincoln's abdomen. And the doctor gave the option to terminate the pregnancy, but Bill and Amanda said, "No way, we're going to trust in our God to heal our son." And so they invited people over to their house to pray for Amanda and Lincoln. And she said that she felt a warmth come over her body. And throughout that pregnancy, the Holy Spirit was with them. And 2 weeks before Lincoln was going to be born, the doctor went in for another ultrasound. And he said, I can't even find this tumor. It's gone. I can't even measure it with this ultrasound. And the doctor told them, "You have the greatest physician working for you, man upstairs." And so Lincoln was born, and he is an energetic kid in City Kids. That guy's going to be a star football player one day. But Jesus is healing. The Holy Spirit's healing in Lincoln's life. Lincoln's journey of healing, it strengthened the church. It brought others to faith. And it's just a miraculous testament that the Holy Spirit works. You see, God's comfort in your life, it will always draw you closer to him, and it'll draw others closer to him. And the third thing that the Holy Spirit does is he empowers you. He empowers you. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to move, to be more Christ-like, and to do works of ministry to bring people of faith. And many of us have experienced this, because before we were Christians, before we followed Jesus, man, we were some messed up cases, right? We didn't have patience, we didn't have peace, we were angry, right? But then after we came to the Lord, we got the fruits of the Spirit, which the Holy Spirit empowers us with. Galatians 5 lists them. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Holy Spirit completely changes lives, and many of you are a testament of this. And he continues to empower us with these gifts, because I'm telling you, when I'm driving on the 91, I need some of those fruits, right? I need some more patience. I need some self-control in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit, he empowers you with the fruits, but he also empowers us with gifts of ministry. 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah, it lists a bunch of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives different believers for the works of ministry. He gives some the gift of wisdom. He gives some the gift of knowledge. He gives some the gift of faith. Others the gift of healing. Others working of miracles. Others he gives the gift of prophecy. Others he gives the gift of distinguishing spirits. To some he gives the gift of tongues. To others he gives the gift of interpretation of the tongues. See, all these gifts, they are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The Holy Spirit empowers us with gifts for the works of ministry to spread the gospel. And this is how the church started in the very beginning in Acts. Acts 1, verse 8, it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." Us here today in a church in America, our testament to this verse, that the Holy Spirit empowered a small group of believers, that it reached the ends of the earth. And they did it through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, who is he? He is God. He is one third of the Trinity. What does the Holy Spirit do? Well, he comforts you, he counsels you, he empowers you. So how do we experience the Holy Spirit's empowerment, his comfort? How do we experience the Holy Spirit's counsel in our lives? Well, you have to be tuned into the right frequency to experience the Holy Spirit. And this is the four ways that you can tune into the Holy Spirit, the frequency of the Holy Spirit. First way is one, well, you gotta first receive the Holy Spirit, right? You have to receive the Holy Spirit through love and obedience. You know, there's some people that don't experience the Holy Spirit. They don't have access to the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 17 says that the world cannot receive because it neither sees me nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells within you. You see, when you become a Jesus follower, when you become a Christian, and you give your life over to him, the Holy Spirit is deposited into your life as a gift. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You see, the Holy Spirit is a person, and he is given to you as a gift. The Holy Spirit is given to you as a gift because he wants to have a relationship with you. You know, it's always been about relationship. This whole thing has always been about relationship with God. From the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, when God made man, it was always about relationship. And when Adam made his first sin and separated that relationship with God, it has always been about getting back into perfect relationship with God. You know, heaven is heaven because you're in perfect relationship with God. And hell is hell because you are completely separated from God. You know, the fire and the weeping of gnashing of teeth would probably be lame too. But it is hell because you are completely separated from God. And when you become a Christian and the Holy Spirit is deposited in you, you're getting a glimpse of heaven here on earth. Now, the big word for that is this word called inaugurated eschatology. And it's this word that says that the kingdom of God is here, but it's not yet. It's here and it's still coming. It's still being fulfilled. So the Holy Spirit is deposited in you as a seal of what's to come. Ephesians 1 says, we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is our guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire a possession of it. See, the Holy Spirit's going to stay with you forever. He's going to stay with you in this life on earth, and then he's going to stay with you throughout eternity in the next life. And when you pray the prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that's what it means. It means that the Holy Spirit is syncing your life here on earth with the life in heaven. See, when he gives you peace, he's giving you peace that comes from heaven. When he gives you comfort, he's giving you comfort that comes from heaven. You know, there's no tears in heaven. Eric Clapton was right. You know, when he gives you healing, he is giving you healing that comes from heaven because there is no sickness in heaven. So you are getting glimpses of heaven here on earth. And the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you. See, it's always been about relationship. It's always been about relationship, and he wants to dwell within you. Now, the qualifier to have him dwell within you is that second part of that first point. It's love and obedience. You receive the Holy Spirit through love and obedience. That's the frequency you turn to. Is okay, you got the Holy Spirit, now you got to turn to the right frequency of love and obedience. Chapter 14 of John, verse 23, we just read it. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. That's the Trinity in one verse. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together. You see, love and obedience, that's the frequency, and they are tied together. You can't separate love and obedience. Love and obedience are tied together. You can't just obey the teachings that God wants you to do. Then you'll be like a Pharisee, which it says, you honor me with your words, but your heart is far from me. There's no love there. What kind of relationship is that? And vice versa, you can't love without obeying as well. Because if you really, truly love someone, you're going to want them, you want to do the things that please them. You can't separate the two. Love and obedience are come hand in hand. And it's very important, this one phrase, I want you guys to write this down, about obedience. Practice obeying the Spirit's initial prompting. Practice obeying the Spirit's initial prompting. You know, if you ask your kid, hey, wash the dishes, and then they say, I'll do it later, what's that called? That's called disobedience, right? Because delayed obedience is disobedience. But if you practice the Spirit's initial prompting in your heart to obey, you will see amazing things happen in your life. You will see God working in incredible ways. There was a story that in the Bible in Acts chapter 8, one of the early church leaders named Philip, the Spirit said to him, Philip, go over to that chariot and stay by it. So Philip ran up and he heard a man in the chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip was able to talk to this man and tell him, hey, this is what you're reading. It was most likely a prophecy about Jesus. And that man became a Christian, a Jesus follower, and was baptized right there. That man just so happened to be the servant of the Queen of Ethiopia. And that man brought that faith back to Ethiopia, and it completely changed the nation. You see, what happens if Philip said, hey, you know what, God, that's kind of weird. I don't want to go buy that chariot. I'll do it later. He would have missed out on this opportunity, right? And that's called quenching the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wants to start a fire in your heart and in someone else's heart. And if you disobey or you delay and you stamp out that fire, that's called quenching the Spirit. Which 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. Instead, what did Philip do? He heard the Spirit and he ran. There was immediacy of obedience. And so obeying the initial prompting of the Holy Spirit, you will see God work in amazing ways. For some of us, you might hear God say, hey, speak to this person. Or hey, buy this person's coffee. Or hey, that person right there, talk to them, invite them to church. Obey the Holy Spirit's initial prompting, and you'll see God work in amazing ways. Now, the second way to tune into the Holy Spirit's, the frequency of the Holy Spirit, is this next point in your note sheets, desire to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. This is turning up the volume. So you got the Spirit, you got the frequency, which is love and obedience, but now you need to turn the volume up so you could hear God. And if you want to hear God, you gotta want to. You know, when you became a Christian, when you became a Jesus follower, you gained a sixth sense of hearing God's word, of hearing the Holy Spirit. God has thoughts of you. He is thinking about you and he is speaking to you. His thoughts exceed the sands of the shore. And he is speaking to you all the time, but if you're not listening, you're not going to hear what he's saying, and you have to want and you have to seek after hearing the Holy Spirit's voice in your life. That's why Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." So seek the voice of God and be sensitive to how he speaks in your life. And these are a few ways that the Holy Spirit speaks. And you guys can jot this down as well. Some of the ways that the Holy Spirit speaks in your life is through prayer. You know, prayer is basically communication with God, right? Prayer is talking to God. Now, communication, it's two ways. You know, a lot of times we only speak to God one way. We don't listen. Have you ever spoken to someone and all they do is talk and talk and talk? And then they leave and they say, "Hey, that was a good conversation." No, it wasn't. You just talked the whole time, right? But a lot of times we do this to God and we treat him like our genie and we're giving him our laundry list of needs. The next time you pray, I want to challenge you to do this. Pray and then quiet. Be quiet. I was going to say another word, but I remember there's kids here. So pray and just be quiet. Be silent and listen. I promise you, you will hear God speak back to you. Now, the other way that God, the Holy Spirit speaks through prayer, he speaks through the Bible. The Bible is his inspired word. It is his heart in written form. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to read the Bible, not like a textbook, but read it like a love letter. Because that's what it is. It is God's love letter to you. Now, how do you read a love letter? If you remember when you got a love letter from when you're dating or whatever, or starting a relationship, right? How'd you read the love letter? You cherished every single word, right? You meditated on it. Memorized it. When you're feeling bad, you whipped it out again. You're like, "Oh, she loves me." You really cared about those letters. So read the Bible like it is. It's God's love letter to you, and he will speak to you through it. Now, God also speaks through godly people. He speaks through pastors, teachers, the church, your church family. You know, every time Pastor Kyle or me come up here, we always pray, "God, empty us and let the words that come through our mouths be from you." And he uses the pulpit to speak. He also uses your church family to speak. Man, in small groups, the discussions that happen there are so rich. And the Holy Spirit uses those discussions to encourage and edify one another. It's always good to have godly voices speaking into your life. That's why Proverbs 11 says, "Where there is no guidance, a people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is safety." And God uses the church to speak as well. Ephesians 3 verse 10 says that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. God uses this church, and how amazing would this be to be the church that shouts out God's name and God's glory to the city of Anaheim that all can hear. You know, another way that God speaks, he speaks through the prayer, through the Bible, through godly people. He also speaks through circumstances. You know, sometimes God shuts doors, and sometimes God opens doors. This was evident in the life of Joseph. Joseph was thrown into prison. That was a horrible circumstance, but guess what? Through that circumstance of being thrown into prison, it led him to the palace, where he became second in command of Egypt, one of the greatest nations of all time and the greatest nation in his day. God speaks through circumstances. He will lead you. And another way that God speaks, he speaks through prayer, the Bible, godly people, circumstances, and impressions, dreams, and visions. You know, there's widespread cases of Muslims in the Middle East that are coming to Christ because they had a dream about Jesus or had a vision about the Lord. It's amazing. It's incredible. You know, personally in my life, I experienced this where in a prayer meeting, my mom, the Holy Spirit impressed on my mom's heart that it was very specific, to take our family on a missions trip to a big island. And so my mom was like, "Well, the Philippines is a big island, Australia is a big island, what big island am I going to go to?" And so she told her neighbor this and said, "Hey, you know, we have a timeshare in Hawaii, and they have an island that's called the Big Island over there." And we were like, "Score, we're going to Hawaii for a missions trip." And their timeshare was in Kona. And so we were going to go there, and then the Holy Spirit spoke really clearly and said, "No, you're not going to Kona. You're going to Hilo." And at the time, Hilo, well, it's the most rainiest place in the U.S., and at the time, it was the number one in percentage per capita of people under the influence of meth, number one in percentage of homeless and high school dropouts. And so we went over there that we didn't know what we were doing. We just showed up at the airport, and we were like, ah, okay. The guy that got our bags, he put them all together, and he's like, what are you guys doing here? And we said, we're on a mission from God, like the Blues Brothers. And that baggage guy, he said, hey, I'm a Christian. This is the number to my pastor. Give him a call. That one number at the airport opened up a floodgate of ministry opportunities. We called this pastor. The pastor literally said, you guys are like angels sent from God. We have a family camp next week. Can you be the keynote speakers? So my dad became the keynote speaker of this family camp. I was the worship leader. I started training their worship team. I got hooked up with the Salvation Army over in Hawaii, you know, in Hilo, and I started working with the homeless ministry. I started working with their VBS and writing songs for the VBS and then teaching different worship teams of the Salvation Army. It was incredible. I even became a radio DJ in Hilo of the Christian radio station. You're listening to KCIF Hilo. It was ridiculous. And then I ended up living 3 months more in Hawaii because I got adopted into a Hawaiian family. It was incredible. You see, when you listen to and follow the voice of the Lord, you will see him do amazing things. Now, this is the third thing that I want to tell you guys to do. This is the most important thing. If you forget everything that I say, remember this one thing. Set a time and place to meet with God. Set a time and place to meet with God. Make an appointment with the Holy Spirit. Set a time and place to meet with him. And Jesus modeled this all throughout his ministry. He would go off, and it says in Mark 1, verse 35, rising early, Jesus, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went to the desolate place where he prayed. He always did this and modeled this so that he can find a quiet place and focus. And I love what Matthew 6, verse 6 says in the Message version. It says, here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you'll begin to sense his presence. There's something amazing that happens when you find a place to rest and focus on God. If you can honor people by making an appointment with them, a time and a place, you can honor God with making a time and a place to meet with him. And it shows intentionality. And when you show God honor like that, he will show honor to you and meet you there. You know, I used to go on morning runs, and I would always stop at this one place and stop and fire up my Bible app and pray. And God would speak to me so much in those times. And I want to encourage you to have a prayer journal. And start writing these things down. When you start writing to God, you'll notice that God writes to you. It's incredible. And so find a place to meet with God. You know, it could be Starbucks, for that matter. There, I heard of a pastor who used to meet with God every morning at McDonald's. He was their number one customer. It wasn't the best idea for his waistline, but it was amazing for his soul, and he met with God. If you meet with God, you will see life change in your life. Now, the last way to tune into the voice of the Holy Spirit is for recognize the Holy Spirit by worshiping, praying, and reading. You know, there are so many voices in our life today. We're surrounded by voices that try to speak and influence us. The voices that you allow to have your ear will be the voices that influence you. That's why we always have to, we need a filter, and we need to be intentional about making sure what we input into our eyes and our ears is God-honoring and positive. Because what we put into ourselves will have an impact on our life. And so what are we reading? What are we watching? What are we listening to? These things need to have, you need to think about these things because they will have an influence on your life. Input negative stuff, there's going to be negative stuff that comes out. And so input godly things, there's going to be godly things that come out. And so with all these voices in our life, we need to be able to test and know which one is the voice of God. And so I want to give you real quick three ways to know that if it is the voice of the Holy Spirit. One, if it's the voice of the Holy Spirit, it'll always harmonize with Scripture. God will not contradict himself in Scripture. He will always be in sync with what he says in the Word of God. And so if you hear the Lord and it's leading you to do something that dishonors your parents or something like that, guess what? It's not God, because the Bible says to honor your mother and father. If you think you hear the Lord and it's saying, oh, you know what? It's okay to sleep with your boyfriend or girlfriend. Guess what? That's not God, because the Bible says that sex is reserved for the marriage bed. It has to be in harmony with Scripture. The other way that you know that it's the Lord is that it will make you more Christ-like. See, everything the Spirit tells you to do will glorify Christ. If it's self-seeking, If it's out of selfish ambition, if it causes envy or harm or causes others to fall away from the Lord, that's not the Lord. That's not God. That's not the Holy Spirit. You will know the root by the fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit, you can find it in Galatians chapter 5, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So know that. Test that. And the last way that you can know that it's from the Lord is ask for confirmation. There's a guy named Gideon in the Bible. He did that. He heard the Holy Spirit say, hey, I want you to attack the Midianites, a bigger, stronger army. And Gideon was like, oh, I don't know about this. God, can you confirm that this is really you? And so he asked a whole bunch of tests. God, if this is you, do this. And the Lord did it. And one of the tests he did, he said, all right, Lord, if this is you, I'm going to lay a fleece down on the ground. And in the morning, would you make the ground wet, but keep the fleece dry? And the morning came, and sure enough, it was. And then he was like, okay, Lord, wait. Let's test that again. If it really is you, then do the opposite. Make the fleece wet and the ground dry around it the next morning. Next morning came, and sure enough, it is how it was. And so God confirmed these things with Gideon. And so if you ask God to confirm things, he will confirm things in your heart, because what it gave Gideon, it gave him assurance and peace that it really was the right direction from the Lord. And so ask God to give you peace with the way that he's leading you. And so I want to give you guys a demonstration of how this is. And I asked a few people from the worship team to come up here. So if you guys are here, come on up. You see, there are so many voices in our life. So, yeah, who did I ask here? Where's Bill? Yeah, Callie, I need 5. There we go. Awesome. So there are so many voices in our life. You guys can stand right up here in the front. There's so many voices in our life, right? And what we need to do is be able to decipher and distinguish which ones is the Lord. So, right, we got friends. Caitlin, why don't you stand in the middle? We got the voices of our friends, right? We got the voices of our family that are going, oh, man, when you put in social media, that's in there too. Your job, right? And so somewhere in there is the Holy Spirit. So in your life, you have voices that are speaking to you right now. And they're saying things like,
you're not making the quota. You need to produce more.
And then you have stress from your family.
Wash the dishes. The baby, you might get laid off. You don't spend enough time.
And then you have distractions from your friends. And then you add in social media, and now you have social media speaking. And somewhere in the mess, the Holy Spirit is talking. But how can you hear when all this chaos is happening in your life? You need to silence those voices. And as you start silencing the voices in your life, as you start meeting with him in quiet times, slowly you hear the voice of God, and you can hear what God is saying in your life.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. The Lord goes before you and will be with you.
God wants to speak with you. God has a message for you. He wants to teach you and he wants to guide you. He wants to comfort you. But you have to take away the distractions and you have to focus in on him. Thank you guys. Appreciate that. So everyone, I want to invite the worship team up here. And I want to give you 3 quick ways, and then we're going to practice this right now of hearing the Holy Spirit. You see, how can you silence the voices in your life? How do you silence the voices in your life? Well, one way, a really awesome way to do it, which I told you how I did it before, is prayer and is fasting. Fast. When you fast, you start silencing the voices that are speaking to you, and you start hearing God's voice clearer. Another way is through quiet time, like we talked about. When you get into a place where you're alone with God, you silence all the outside distractions, turn your phone off, only keep the Bible app on, and you start hearing the voice of God. But my favorite way to hear the Lord's voice in your life is through worship, through music. You know, music is a powerful gift that he gave us, and it's not meant for entertainment. God made it so that it would lead your heart closer to his. You see, film score makers, they figured this out. That's why movies have a soundtrack, right? Because it moves your heart to a certain emotion. But the purpose of music is so that it would move your heart closer to God's. And so when we have our worship team up here, they sing praises to God. This isn't entertainment. This is so that your heart syncs up and you put your antennas up so that you can hear the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to practice this right now. And I want everybody to stand right now. Everybody stand to your feet. This is not a time. This is not a time to leave or go anywhere right now. For this next part, I want you guys to quiet your souls, quiet the distractions around you, and I want you to put your antennas up to hear the Holy Spirit, because I guarantee you He is speaking. So nobody leave right now. This is the time that you tune in to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm also going to invite some people up here to pray. We have some prayer team members that are going to stand right up here in the front, and they're going to be available to pray for you. And you know what? Maybe God wants you to come up to one of these prayer team members. Prayer team guys, come up here. Maybe God wants you to come up to these people, and they will pray for whatever's going on in your life. And so right now, I want us to be attentive to what the Holy Spirit is doing. And so everybody close your eyes. This is a moment between you and God, not anyone else around you. Now, lift up your hands. Everyone lift up your hands, everyone in the room. I'm gonna pray this prayer and sync up your heart with what I'm saying. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence here. We invite your presence here to speak to us. God, would you open up our hearts to hear you? Would you open up our minds to distinguish your voice from the others? Lord, we want to worship you. So right now, I want everyone to keep your eyes closed for at least the first minute of this song. I don't want anyone to look around or look left or right. I want your hearts to look forward. I want your hearts to look up. And at least for this first section of the song, Pastor Crizell is going to come up here and lead us in worship. And we are going to tune into what the voice of the Holy Spirit is saying. You know, God's putting on my heart right now that there's a wall that needs to be broken. And the wall is between the head and the heart. Keep on playing, band. Keep on playing. A lot of us, we have God in our intellect, but there's a disconnect between our heart and our head. And so I want to pray that a wall will be broken where our head and our heart can sync up and we could love God with all of us, with our mind, with our heart. Father God, would you just break down walls in our lives right now? God, would you just fall upon this place? Lord, would you touch our hearts? Would you open up our hearts so that we can hear and sense your presence here? We want to give you honor and glory. So God, would you fall on this place right now? Fall on this place right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. This next song, I want to invite us to take part in communion. Up here, we have some communion stations here. And so when you feel led, this is for us who call ourselves believers in Jesus and who want to remember what Christ did for us on the cross. And so come up here when you feel led in this next song to just have a moment with the Lord. And if you feel like you need to get prayed for something, if someone's in here that needs some healing, if there's an ailment or an ache, would you come up here and get prayed for? I feel the Holy Spirit wants to heal somebody right now. And so if that's you, if you're the one that has that pain or whatever that is, come up for healing. God wants to encounter you and he wants to meet you here. And so during this next song, I'm going to pray us into communion. When you feel led, come up and take part in communion. Lord Jesus, we remember what you have done for us on the cross, that you have made a way that we can be reunited with you through your blood. Holy Spirit, we invite your presence to this place. We love you in Jesus' name. Can I have everyone rise to your feet? I want to pray a blessing over everybody right now. I'm going to dismiss you guys, but I want you to tune your ears and your hearts to the Holy Spirit this week. Would you meet with him every single day? And would you seek and desire to hear his voice? And so everyone lift up your hands. Father God, for the hearts that want it, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would just meet them. Let them have an encounter with you. Speak to them through your word, through prayer. Lord, let them know that you are here, that you are real, that you love them, that you want to guide them, that you want to comfort them, that you want to empower them. So, Father, I pray this blessing that as they go, that they will be messengers empowered by you to spread your love. We thank you. We praise you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen, church. God is good. Amen.
Before you sign off, you can listen to more great messages on City Church's website at lovehopecity.com. Or if you have a question, send us an email at hello@lovehopecity.com. Come see us any Sunday at 701 West Broadway, Anaheim, California. Check the website for times and services.